hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Our eternal, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness toward us, another Sabbath day that finds us in Thy house this morning to worship Thee, our living God. And, O God, we pray right at the outset that, Lord, we might be conscious that the Lord is here. And, Lord, we haven't come to worship men, but we've come to worship Thee. We pray that Thou will be glorified in our midst. We pray that the Savior will be exalted and have all the preeminence. And Lord, this time will be a time of great blessing to each and every weary soul. So Lord, hear our cry. Do abide with us, Lord. O God, help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105, page 99. We're standing to sing the first 7 verses, please. Give thanks to God, call on His name. To men His deeds make known, sing ye to Him, sing psalms, proclaim His wondrous works, each one. Psalm 105, and it's page 99. We'll stand as we sing the first 7 verses. Gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we continue in Thy presence, in the Savior's precious and all-prevailing name. And, O God, in the words of the psalm, we call upon Thy name. We desire, Lord, to give Thee the thanks and the praise of our heart. And oh God, our hearts would be united in thankfulness for all that thou hast done for us. We take a moment, Lord, to thank thee for thy mercies toward us, even in the week that has passed. And Lord, thou hast preserved us in our goings out and in our comings in. Thou hast, Lord, kept thine hand upon us. And oh God, we bless thee for the times that thou hast afforded us the opportunity to meet in thy house. We thank the Lord for the seasons of prayer. We thank the Lord for the children gathered in on Wednesday night. We bless the Lord for our young people on Friday night and for their support. And oh God, we ask that thou would encourage, Lord, each of these works. And oh God, thou would encourage the workers at this time. And we might see, Lord, the increase given. And oh God, that thy name would be glorified. And we praise the Lord for even last evening, for again being under the word in thy house. And oh God, we praise thee, Lord, for everyone that took part. And especially, Lord, for the message that came with challenge to our souls. And Father, we pray that thou would bless the Sabbath school teachers as they would scatter the good seed of the word of God. We would ask, Lord, even this morning that it would not be snatched away immediately. But Lord, instead it would have that good resting place in the hearts of the boys and girls. We pray, Lord, that we might have an impact for God upon these young lives. We ask, O God, that we might see them won for Christ. And Lord, those that are saved, that the signs of grace will be evident. And Lord, as they grow physically, Lord, we would see them grow spiritually in the Lord. O God, give us, Lord, those blessings. And we're not, Lord, unmindful of those who have passed through your Sunday school maybe years ago. And today, Lord, there may be young married couples. And Lord, we pray that the word again would come back to them. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would see them gathered in, even into the house of God. Oh God, remember those who have gone a distance from the church, who have gone, Lord, to even other lands. And Lord, it seems that they're away from the influence of a godly home, or even, Lord, a church that believes in the word. And we pray, O God, that even there, that thou might, Lord, reveal thyself to them. O God, we thank thee that we read in the scriptures of those whom were afar off, and yet, Lord, thou didst draw near. Thank the Lord for the prodigal in the far country. And yet, Lord, he was brought to an end of himself, and he returned to the Father's house. And we pray, Lord, that that might be the experience of many of our young people and young adults today. That, Lord, there might be a returning even to the Father's house. And, O God, that thou would bring them into union with Christ. O Father, we cry to thee that thou would, Lord, work marvelously this very day. Thou would visit us, Lord, with salvation blessing. For, Lord, there are those who come in even to the house of God, and as yet, Lord, it is not well with their soul. As yet, Lord, they're still strangers to thee and to thy grace. And we pray, Lord, that this Sabbath might be a different day. Lord, that thou would, Lord, reveal thyself. Thou would lift the scales from off their eyes. Oh God, thou would bring them even to the foot of the old rugged cross. Remember, Lord, our young married couples. Lord, many, oh God, difficulties, many, Lord, temptations, many trials, Lord, that come against many a home. But Lord, we pray that thou would protect them. And we ask, oh God, that thou might bless and thou might direct and thou might guide, even in accordance to thy word. We ask, Lord, for those who are elderly today, and, oh God, they cannot join with us. They haven't, Lord, that privilege that we have. And we ask, Lord, that they might even know a rich sense of thy presence in their own home. For those able to look in or listen in to a former meeting, we pray that their souls might be blessed, and they might, Lord, know of assurance that the Church of Jesus Christ, the people of God, are yet remembering them in prayer. We ask for those that have been bereaved, even in the district, in the last week, and, oh God, that made their way to a final resting place. And we pray again that thou, the God of all comfort, would continue to give that needed grace. Lord, that the empty chair might be filled with thy presence. Oh God, remember us for good. Bless us today. Lord, we would ask that thou would help us as we take up the hymn book to sing thy praise. Help us, Lord, never to be ashamed to sing us unto the Lord. Help us, O God, as we'd open the golden page of Scripture, as we'd read it, Lord, we pray we might give attention to it. Lord, thou would teach us and instruct us again by thy Spirit, even in the life of Abram. Oh God, we thank thee for that which we've considered already. And oh God, it has come to our hearts. But Lord, we pray that thou would teach us again this very day. And we ask, Lord, that thou might help us to walk in accordance to thy command. Oh Father, we've read even this morning of the zeal of the Lord, and the zeal of the Lord of the house had eaten them up, so that he was to drive out those who sold the oxen and the sheep. He overturned the tables of the money changers. He cast out the doves to take them thence. Lord, we would pray for the purity of the worship of God in the free church. We would pray, Lord, that we might guard it. We pray, Lord, that we might worship thee in the beauty of holiness. And Lord, we would not bring in to the house of God those things that have taken up our attention this week. But, oh, Father, we pray that our hearts might be cleansed afresh, that there be no hindrance to the blessing or to God answering our prayers. Father, we pray thou would have mercy. So often, Lord, we have those things turning over in our mind, those even legitimate things that has to be done this week. But, Lord, we pray even for this little time, even an hour this morning and again tonight, yea, Lord, throughout the day, that, Lord, that those things will be cast to the side. And, Lord, our thought, our gaze, our hearts might be fixed upon the Savior. Oh, hear our cry. Stand in our midst in all thy risen power. And, oh, Father, we do, Lord, return thee thanks for thine hand upon David Newell in the past week. And, Lord, we praise thee, Lord, for the signs of blessing and the signs of God answering prayer. Thank the Lord for the words that he has now spoken. And, oh, God, for the obvious improvement even within this last number of days. And to God we give all the praise and the glory. And we pray that thou would continue to help him, O God. And Lord, we bless thee for sparing him. And we pray that thou might reveal thyself to him even as he lies upon the sick bed. And Lord, it might be, Lord, not only a body been healed, but Lord, and most of all, it might be a soul healed. O God, save him, we pray. And Lord, Diane, and that family circle, Lord, just move, Lord, as the wind blows. Lord, wind of spirit, blow, I pray, upon that family. And, oh, God, we pray that, Lord, it might be the talk of the community of what God has done. Thank you, Lord, for thine hand upon others. Others that have been unwell, and thou hast touched them. Thou hast raised them up. Children that are unwell, and, Lord, yet thou hast drawn near, and thou hast blessed them. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Ray this morning. And Lord, he never misses the house of God. And Lord, we may take him for granted coming in and out, but Lord, we praise thee for him. And we ask that thou would encourage him, and I might bless even others as well who need thy nearness and thy touch. So Lord, answer prayer and abide with us further. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hymn number 302. 302, please, in our hymn books. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, and these are red. With joy shall I lift up my head. Page 298, and we'll stand as we sing it again, number 302.
Yeah.
Now let's turn back to a little study that we have started in life of Abram, Genesis chapter 12. And I suppose we're proceeding a wee bit slow, but I trust that the Lord is blessing the word to your heart. Genesis chapter 12, let's just read this time from verse 1. We have covered some of these verses, but let's just read them for context. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Amen. Just ending there, the words of verse 9 this morning. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our own hearts for His own name's sake. Now let me welcome you in the Savior's name. It's good to see you in the house of God this morning. Good to see the gallery well filled as well as downstairs, and that's always encouraging. We welcome each one warmly today, especially if you're visiting with us. We give you a special word of welcome, and it's good to see you. Good to see Vanessa back again, and we welcome her and Abram, and others as well. And we pray the Lord might richly bless us today in the study of God's Word and the worship of our God. We do welcome those listening in through the webcast as well, the DVD ministry. We pray the Lord will bless you wherever you are as you join with us. May you feel a part of the congregation even this morning. Let me turn you back to that passage that we read just earlier, Genesis chapter 12. We entitle our message this morning, Following God's Will. And just let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy presence already in our midst this morning. We thank the Lord for the words of the hymns of Zion we've been singing, and the beloved will of God that we've been singing about. Lord, we pray that Thou would instruct us, teach us, give us the teachable spirit this morning in the closing remainder part of this meeting. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would apply the word by Thy Spirit to each and every individual soul. For Lord, we're conscious Thou knowest the need of every heart. Lord, Thou knowest those that are Thine. Thou knowest, Lord, those who just have an outward appearance, but the work of grace was never done in their soul. We pray that Thou would speak to the saint and sinner alike. Lord, I pray to that end Thou would fill me with Thy Spirit and with power, that I might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. I pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to rightly divide Thy truth. No desire, Lord, to bring fancy words of man's wisdom. But Lord, we have a desire, we have a heart, to know what saith the Scriptures. Bless us, we pray just now, For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Never a bad thing for the child of God to remember the beginnings of our journey on the road to heaven. There will be those times when we have occasion to look back, that time when the Lord stepped into our life, and by His effectual call we started for that heavenly land and for home. Indeed, if we consult the opening words of Isaiah 51, maybe you just come there with me at this particular juncture, you'll find that there's the exhortation to do that very thing. Let me read the first part of it while you turn it up. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Oh, it has been addressed there to God's people. It says in the familiar words of verse 1, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. And the sense of the verse 1, the word look there, it gives the idea of looking intently, to look with all the heart. And that is the sense behind that little word, to give a great deal of thought, if you like. And isn't it interesting that the same word, look, is also found in verse 2? For it says, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And God seems to be saying to us, go back to Genesis. Take a look with a heart, an intense look at my servant, at the biography, if you like, of Abraham, and seek to follow in his steps. Look at his example. Learn from his mistakes. And that's what we have sought to do thus far. We have learned that he should never have dwelt at Haran, for it was an instance of delaying in carrying out the will of God for his life. But you'll notice the words of Isaiah 51 and verse 2 reminds us of maybe the reason why that possibly was to be the case. For it says there, for I called him alone. I called him alone. Yet we read, and haven't we read in Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 12, that his father Terah went with him. And twice over in verse 4 and in verse 5 of the chapter that we've read this morning, we have the detail given to us that Lot went with him. He went with him from the air of the Chaldees. And when Abram finally left Haran after the death of his father, Lot went with him again, along with his substance. And that would indicate to me, as I intimated last time around, that this wasn't just a delay of a few days, but rather that would indicate to me that they must have stayed quite a while at Haran, so much so that their substance was to increase. That obviously was not a situation that God had commanded. For Abram was to say goodbye to his land. He was to say goodbye to his family. He was to say goodbye to his father's house. But even today, men and women, it is possible for the people of God to easily settle for less than what God has for them. And the sight of Abram only halfway to that land that God would show him ought to serve as a valuable lesson to every one of us not to fall at that hurdle, not to settle for less than fully going through with God's will. But happily the passage doesn't end there, and Abraham is on the road, for we read, of course, that he went forth. Into the land of Canaan they came, verse 5. And what we are brought to consider in these verses is something that many of God's people, it seems, find difficult to understand or to grasp, and that is following God's will. It's a blessing to not only know God's will for your life, it's a blessing to be assured of God's will in your life, but it's also a blessing to follow God's will in your life. And there's much instruction for us in these verses that as we want to look at this morning as what happened to the servant of the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, here I've entitled it just simply the compliance. Knowing what the will of God is may be the easy part. sometimes the following is the harder. And in the life of Abram, we are to notice some aspects of this. You will see, for example, the challenge that it was for him. As Abram commences his journey into Canaan, he did so amidst many trials, not more so than his wife Sarai was still barren. We're given that detail by the Holy Ghost. And yet the promise of God to Abraham was that he would be made a great nation. That wasn't the easiest thing to accept. The challenge was for him to accept the promise of God in every detail, even though Sarai was still barren, she was childless. But what about the challenge of not knowing where he was going? The way he was to go was not known unto the servant of the Lord, and he doesn't know his final destination, he doesn't know his final resting place, but he commits it all into the hands of the Lord. And as human souls, we like to know what lies before us. We like to know what is laid out for us. But sometimes God in his will doesn't show us the whole picture. But having come away from the country of his birth, having suffered the bereavement of his father, the challenge was ever present when he arrived in the land of Canaan. For he is not, as he might have expected, put in possession of the land of Canaan immediately, or indeed any portion of it. And God had said, I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and I will bring thee unto a land that I will show thee. But if you consider the words of verse 7, it becomes clear that the land will be given unto his seed. For the Lord said, unto thy seed will I give this land. But to himself nothing is given. And that is a challenge to his compliance. And we'll see in our study that the only piece of ground that Abraham owned in the land of Canaan was Machpelah, his burial place. But God said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And moreover, when we read these verses, we cannot but notice that he is but a stranger and he is but a pilgrim in that land. And the end of verse 6, it sets the scene for us. For the trial was that wherever he went, the Canaanite was still there. The Canaanite was still in the land. In other words, the idolatrous nations, the ungodly are everywhere to be seen. They were not those that Abraham felt he could be in fellowship and in communion with. God did not bring him out of it from the Ur of the Chaldees to bring him into the communion of saints. No, the Canaanites were all around the land. We could sum up all these challenges by the words of the psalmist, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but through them all Abraham believed God. He was compliant unto the command of God, and so it ought to be with each of his people. You know what God wants you to do in your life. You know what he wants you to do in accordance to his will. But in the following of that will, in the following of that command, there will be the disappointments at times. There will be the wounded spirit. There may even be the loss of friends, the delay in what you believe God promised to you. There will be the presence of the wicked. And there will be the presence of the idolater all abroad. And it may be that you are feeling as one, as if you're walking a lonely path, and you're walking as a stranger in this world. And that's how it is, and that's how it was for Abram. The compliance also concerned his company. For while in verse 6 we have Abram passing through the land, and the note is given to us that those abroad were the Canaanites. They were among the nations that occupied the land at that time, and Abram was careful not to have them as his company. He doesn't dwell amongst them or with them. In following the will of God, he was not going to join himself unto those who worshipped the false gods and the false idols. And as a father, he's careful enough when it came to a suitable bride for his son to command his servant that she was not to be from the Canaanites. You look at Genesis 24, just over a few chapters, look at the verse 3. He's well on in years now. And Abram said, verse 2, unto his eldest servant, and we're not given his name. Oh, there's many presume it was Eleazar, but we're not given that. Don't read into Scripture what's not there. But whoever his servant was, he gave clear instruction. He said, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, the daughter of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. You swear by me, don't bring a woman back that's of the Canaanites. Instead, he was to direct him back even to his own family circle. He didn't want to disobey the command of the Lord by giving his daughter over to an ungodly Canaanite. Or your son, I should say, over to an ungodly woman in the Canaanites. But while he was detached from their company, that which he had was far better. For the words of verse 7 in chapter 12 indicate to us who his company was. He had the Lord. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. We know that the Lord had spoken unto him while he was in Babylon. We have noted that from Stephen's defense in Acts chapter 7. But here we have implied not only the Lord God speaking to Abram again, but appearing unto him. There's one of those Old Testament appearances of Christ. The Lord appeared unto Abraham. As soon as Abraham followed the will of the Lord fully, he had the Lord speaking unto him again, and he had the Lord appearing unto him. You see, there's no record. No record of the Lord having spoken to him during the time in Haran, nor appearing unto him there. For it's only when we follow the will of the Lord fully that we have the assurance of His company and we have His speaking voice. And child of God, if you want to have the Savior's company along life's pathway, as you do His will, then you have everything you need. You have everything you need to be a fruitful and to be a productive believer. You want to hear the Savior's voice to your soul. You want the Savior's company as you walk that pathway. Then follow the Lord fully. His compliance also meant something else, that the consolations were more than compensated for what he left behind. Never think that the Lord commands his people to do difficult things without him providing a benefit for them somewhere down the line. The Lord always acts on behalf of his people. And when the Lord gives you direction, there's always a blessing waiting for you just around the corner. I want to say this, no man is ever a loser for following in the will of God. And so when God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, those words weren't spoken as some expression of delight on God's part to give a little bit of suffering to his servant, but it was for his own sake. God would make it worthwhile for him to obey such a command. Abraham, get you out of that country. I have something better for you. There are people who imagine, you know, that the Christian life is full of negatives. You ever come across those? And we're to give up this, and we're to give up that, as if there was nothing else for the Christian but to give up things. And while to be a follower of Christ, there invariably will be a taking up of the cross, and there will be a leaving off of those things that are never for our good. The things that the Lord found you in when He saved you, you'll happily give them up. Yet what we receive from the Lord more than compensates for any of those things. More than compensates. The disciples, when the Lord called them to follow them, in some instances they left their fathers. In other instances they left their fishing. And they left even their income, the source of income. For they had the presence of Christ for those years. Their company, they enjoyed His company, walking in closest fellowship with Him, such as few has ever experienced. When the Lord asks you to give up something in this life, it's for our good. And He's about to bless us with something far better. Far better. An unsaved soul, you remember that. The Christian is not the one in bondage this morning, it's you. You're bound by many a snare. You're bound by the old things of the world where you seek the delight and where you seek your joy from. It may be the old glass of wine. Maybe the drink. Give it up. No, you don't want to. You want it, you say. Who's in bondage then? Might be the fags. Might be the immoral lifestyle. Whatever it is. You'll realize that the ungodly of those are in bondage. Not the believer. Not the believer. Whom the Lord sets free shall be free indeed. The consolations of God are not small. Instead of leaving Babylon as a deprived person, he left as a privileged person. As a privilege to meet with God. As a privilege to have His Word. As a privilege as well as a joy to walk with God. God has blessings without number. Rather than spoiling our joy, following His will mean the Lord will increase our joy. Rather than curtailing our life, He will lead you on into greater fullness. The believer, and nor by inference the unconverted man or woman, will ever lose anything by following and honoring the Lord. And in Abram's life, there's a compliance here. There's a compliance. But you know, I want you to go on and I want you to consider also the conformity. For when considering following the will of God, then invariably there must be a conformity to it. And on this thought, we're drawn to consider in these verses the vast contrast that there is between Abram and Lot. On Abram's part, there was a conformity to God's call. But with Lot, there's no call of God for him. No call of God for him to get out of the Ur of the Chaldees. There's no heart in what Lot was doing. There's no record of Lot being at prayer or of Lot looking to the Lord for guidance before he made his way into Canaan. Lot is merely a traveler. One who went along with Abraham. Lot ended up going with him to Canaan. He could have just as happily went to Egypt. And indeed, when he did so, it was something that never left him. We know, of course, from the New Testament, don't forget this, that Lot was a saved man. For we are told by Peter that he's described as a just Lot, as a righteous soul, but it seems that he was the sort that he was one man one day, and the next he was completely different, and that meant he had no strength of character. When the difficulties arose, he was carried away. He made prayerless decisions that cost him nearly everything. Whereas with the man who's seeking to follow the will of God, there's a call in their life. There is that word that the Lord gave. There's that word that the Lord has commanded them that they should do. And so it was for Abraham. He heard that command. He heard the will of God and the call of God. And he was to go through with that. And he was to pursue that for the next 100 years. 100 years. But not only was there a conformity to his call, but there was a conformity to God's will that will also mean conviction. Lot had no conviction to leave all for Christ's sake. Lot just went along. He drifted. And that meant that he went wherever he was taken. He had no conviction to stay in the land of Canaan. He showed no conviction to stay by the place of the altar that we read about in these verses. He had no conviction about leaving the tents of prayer when it came to making his decision to go toward the cities of the plain. And oftentimes there are those who profess faith in Christ, and they don't show any kind of resolve to follow the Lord by conviction. They're not found to be saying that they want to be like Caleb, that man who wholly followed the Lord. But one who has conviction in doing the will of God will have nailed their colors to the mast, and their resolve will be to go through with God, with what God wants them to do. Never be ashamed of standing up for the Lord without apology in the face of the ungodly world. For many times Abram had to do that. And whenever he went, he left a testimony behind him. He was a man who had conviction in what he was doing. And wherever he went, the Canaanite would have come in afterwards, and they would have known that Abraham was there. How did they know? Because he built the altar. He didn't worship according to the Canaanite, the false gods. He built the altar. Left a testimony behind him. And that's part of the reason why he never went back to Haran. And he never went back to the land of his birth. Now, he wasn't perfect, and we're going to see that. But Abraham, conviction. Conviction that God had called him. Conviction to know God's will was for him to be in Canaan. That's why he never went back. With conformity to God's will, it will also mean that we have a compass. A compass to guide us in the way in which we should go. And that compass is the Word of God. Every step that we take ought to be in accordance to and with the Word of God. Listen to me. Every friendship formed must be in submission to God's Word. It is that submission that we read of in Abram when he departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot didn't have that compass in his life. He didn't seek the Word of God in the decisions that he made. He certainly was in submission to the Word of God when he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And so what we're learning is that there are two types of believers nearly in view in this passage. Those who go by the compass. Those who go by the Word of God, and they can look for the blessing of God as they go. Those who are just like Lot, they just go. Just go. I wonder which is it for you today. You who profess faith in Christ, child of God, redeemed with precious blood. You know the call of God in your life to do what you're doing. You have that conviction. And here's your compass. And you're using the compass a lot. And you're seeking the guidance that only God can give. The one who said, I will instruct thee in the way in which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. Or do you just go on a whim? Blown about with every idea. Maybe even blown about with a crowd. But no call in your life, no conviction to stay the course when the trial and difficulties come. You see, the contrast between Abraham and Lot here is palpable. It's palpable. It's great. And the other thought I want to leave with you this morning is this. There's the characteristics. We're dealing with following God's will. There's characteristics for that. Being out of the will of God will mean you're missing out on God's best for your life. There's many in Christendom and they're out of God's will. They're missing out on God's best. And in our study, we will note how Abram got himself into the wrong place. And we'll notice the reasons for that. That's another day. But in these verses, he's in the right place. He's in the land of Canaan. Verse 5 has told us that. He's in the land of promise that God had called him to. But being in that right place and being in the will of God, there will be those things that are evident. Just as much as there will be also those things that will mark a life being in the wrong place and outside of God's will. Let's look at them. The first of those characteristics of being in the will of God will be a life as a pilgrim. And that can be noted if you come with me in these verses that we have read. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah. Look at the words of verse 8. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Look at verse 9. And Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. His life, you see, was continually on the move. And it seemed that he was distinct from the other nations around about him. That's what God desires for his people. We are distinct from the rest of mankind. If you're saved today, we're a chosen people. We are that peculiar people, that people who have been bought with a price. You turn over to even 1 Peter chapter 2, and you'll see it for yourself. 1 Peter chapter 2. In the words of verse 9, and Peter's writing to the people of God, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. If I take you back to that little phrase in verse 6, and Abram passed through. That comes from the same root as from the word Hebrew. And the name Hebrew, or the word Hebrew, was a name given or used by foreigners to describe the people of God. And the first instance in which you'll find it in the scriptures, it's used of Abram. You turn over to chapter 14, just a couple of chapters over, you look at verse 13. How sad the previous verse already finds Lot dwelling in Sodom. But verse 13, and there came one that had escaped. That is, they had taken Lot and all his family and goods with him, the Canaanites, you remember. And there's one that escaped, the one that came and told Abram the Hebrew. See that? First time you'll see it in the scriptures. It was a term of distinction. It distinguished between them and the other nations. It distinguished between the people of God and the ungodly. And it is as if Abram is living out that name in practice. He was passing through the land. He was one who did not belong to them. He was stating by his life that he was a stranger and he was a pilgrim in the world. And Abram passed through the land. He was distinct. And child of God, that's the mark of being in the right place with God in the center of God's will. God doesn't want you to walk the pathway of the world. No, sir. But rather he means you to be different. Let me show it to you. Romans chapter 12. Look at the words of verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed there brings you back to the Mount of Transfiguration, how the Savior was transformed. What a difference. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God doesn't want you just to be looked like the world and to live like the world and to go to the places of the world. Men and women, take that on board, please. Well, I said, I said in passing on Friday night, we had a panel in the youth fellowship on Friday night. I said in passing to our young people, not just to the girls, but to the fellows as well, we are not to come to God's house dressed like the world. You're showing a testimony when you leave your house that you've taken a bit of consideration. But we're not coming to see men. We're coming to worship the Lord. And if the world's fashion, girls, is 6 or 7 or 8 inches above your knee, don't follow it. In God's name, don't follow it. And fellas, the same applies. That doesn't say, by the way, if somebody hasn't got a decent set of clothes that they're not welcome in this church. That's not what we're getting at whatsoever. But we're coming to worship the Lord. And God means us to be different, whether it's in our worship, or whether it's out on the street, or whether it's in the workplace. And there's a distinction. And Abram was a Hebrew. He was distinct. And they knew that he was a stranger amongst them. And you know, this will mean God doesn't want us to walk the pathway of this world. He means us to be different. It will mean us not putting down roots too deep into this world, for this is not our permanent residence. You know what we're doing, child of God? We're just passing through. We're passing through into heaven, onto heaven. For that's where our citizenship is, as Paul speaks about in Philippians chapter 3. By the very fact that Abram passed through and removed tents, it tells us also that while the Canaanite were in the land, he did not seek to dwell with them. In verse 9, he's still a traveler. He's passing on all the time. He's a man on a journey. So it is with every child of God who desires to be in the center of God's will. Having left the city of destruction, we're journeying, and we're journeying to that celestial city, the city of the great King. Is your life marked by the Spirit? As one who is not at home in this world? That's a characteristic of being in the center of God's will. Another characteristic will be the presence of the Lord. We've touched on it a little already, but you will notice in verse 7 that in two occasions there's reference made to the Lord's presence being known, made known unto Abram. The Lord appeared unto Abram. And then at the end of the verse, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now, this is not recorded when he was in Haran. But now Abram's in Canaan. He's in the right place with God. He's fully obeyed his word. And when we're in the right place, we can expect the Lord's presence, and we can expect the Lord's voice to be heard. You want to have the Lord speak to you, then endeavor to be in the center of his will. That's a characteristic. You'll know the presence of the Lord. Even, listen to me, even in the most difficult times, you'll know God's presence. And the third one, the other characteristic with this we finish, will be that of prayer. We can't leave these verses without noting that Abraham approached unto God through the sacrifice. Verse 7, you see, we've read it. He says, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. He worships God on the grounds of redemption. And every blessing that he enjoys comes by the way of the altar. We cannot overstate the importance of his worship and the means whereby God met with Abram. It was in the grounds of the shed blood. And I believe we'll take this a little bit further the next time. You see, that's the place where our prayers are answered. It's at the mercy seat. What's at the mercy seat? The mercy seat is where the blood was shed. The blood was sprinkled. And the blood was presented. And Christ, having shed his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And God says, there I will meet with thee. And there I will commune with thee. It's on the grounds of the blood. It's when we approach the Lord on that manner. Not on the merit of being separated. Not on the merit of being belonging to this church or some other church. Not on the merit of because I'm a Sunday school teacher or I'm doing involved in some other important work of the Lord. But our prayer life, it must be built on the atoning work of the Savior that He wrought in Calvary's cross. For God to accept our prayers and our worship and speak to us, it will not be because of anything of ourselves, but solely because of Christ's blood and righteousness that we've been singing about. And Abram learned that. He must build the altar to worship God. He couldn't worship with the Canaanites. There was separation in his life. He has put God first in his life. And wherever Abraham journeyed and wherever he pitched his tent, he built the altar. And verse 8 tells us that he called upon the name of the Lord. You see, he's went on from verse 7. He's removed again. He's went in between Bethel and Ai. It's interesting there. Bethel means house of God. Ai, a heap of ruins. They are unsaved. That's what the Lord does for you in salvation. He brings you from the heap of ruins and He brings you to the house of God. Isn't that a lovely picture? And in the midst of those two mountains, Abram built the altar and he called upon the name of the Lord. All the while, Abram is in the center of God's will. His life is marked by prayer. I wonder, is your life marked by this? Or have you moved away from God's will in your life? If your family, if your private family prayer life has been hindered, that time you got away into the closet and you met with God, if that private prayer life has been hindered, it may be that you're not living enough in the tent. You understand what I'm saying? For the tent life of the pilgrim and the altar go together. Your roots are too deep down into the world. You leave off the place of prayer. I'm doing well. Don't need the Lord just today. The tent life and the altar go together. For the tent life of the pilgrim and of separation is sure to produce self-denial, and it's sure to produce heavenly fellowship with Christ, who is our altar. Don't see an altar in this church. There's a table of remembrance, for Christ is our altar. And He's alive. And He's seated at God's right hand. May God help us each one to have these characteristics about us. And if you're not saved, then come to the place of sacrifice this morning by faith, even to Calvary. For the way of the cross leads home. And accept what Christ has done for a sinner like you. Come this morning. And then you'll be marked out as being a child of God. Pray the Lord will bless His word to each of our hearts this morning. For His own name's sake, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, please, in closing. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. Praise Thee, Lord, for the instruction of it, even in the life of Abram. And O God, we, Lord, have gleaned something of what it is to follow Thy will. And we pray, Lord, that we might desire, each and every child of God might desire, well, it would be their heart's desire to be in the Lord, we would have those marks, those characteristics about us. Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to guard the tent life of the pilgrim. And to guard, Lord, the time of meeting with God in prayer. We pray, Lord, that our homes might have the family altar raised again. And prayer will be offered. The word will be read. Meeting with Christ will be desired. I pray, Lord, You'd speak to those who are not saved. Oh, Father, we pray that Thou would bring them to the foot of the cross this morning. Save them by Thy grace. We ask, Lord, that we would not, Lord, as children of God, be like Lot, just drifting, wandering, easy led. But Lord, may our lives more and more characterize instead Abram. Yea, Lord, ultimately, we pray that our lives will be more Christ-like. Oh, hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Bring us back in thy will. In thy will, Lord, we believe it is thy will that we might be in the house of God tonight. Bring us back again. And may we, Lord, reverence this thy day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.